Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everybody serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May God add a blessing to his word.
Well, we looked at what the Bible says about Joseph, and looked at what the Bible says today about Mary. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at what the Bible says about Israel, catch up on these things so we get our facts right. And that's really important. Because of Mary's special place in the birth of Christ, many false teachings or misunderstandings have arisen concerning her. As a result, the Mary we hear spoken of often is not the Mary of the Bible. And today we want to look at what the Bible declares and what it does not say about Mary. And let's see if we have an accurate understanding of what the book teaches. Many people might have to then adjust their thinking when they hear what the scriptures actually say versus what man says. And here's the fact that we need to know. The only true authority we have is the word of God, not the word of man. And we must reject any teaching that contradicts or adds to the word of God. And so today we're going to look at 3 details that the Bible teaches about Mary. And while at the same time we look at those, we are going to point out teachings that are not found in the scriptures that many people are taught, but they're not true. And we're going to point them out so we can understand the real teaching in the Bible about Mary. The first thing we want to talk about is the picking of Mary. God told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And I want you to notice something. It is God doing the choosing. It was not based on anything Jeremiah did. He wasn't even born. He wasn't even created yet. It was based upon the sovereign will and choosing of God. And that's really important to understand. Now let's look at Mary and the virgin birth then. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Had nothing to do with anything Mary did. It had everything to do with sovereignty. God's sovereignty in choosing Mary and creating Mary to be the vessel that would be the one who would carry the Christ child in her womb. The angel told Mary in Luke 1:26, "In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now the 6th month is not Mary's 6th month. The 6th month is the 6th month of Elizabeth, Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. Remember that an angel came to her father, John the Baptist's father, her husband, and said that there was going to be a child born in their family. Now, Elizabeth had been barren, and she was past the age of childbearing. But God, in his sovereignty, goes and sees Zechariah and says, your wife is going to conceive and bear a son, and his name will be John. And then in the sixth month, that was the time that Mary gets the announcement. An angel comes to her, and it says in verse 27, to a virgin betrothed, that is, in our language, we would use the term engaged, but it's much stronger in the Bible. If you're betrothed, you're considered married. If you break up, it requires a divorce. And they were betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, what does favored one mean? We have blown that way out of proportion to what was meant by what the angel said. The favored one, it really just literally means blessed one, one receiving grace. By God's sovereign choice, he blessed Mary and announced that she would be the one who the Christ child would be born through. Now, that's important that we understand that, because when we read the word that she was blessed and or favored, people take that and they multiply that and make it say something it doesn't say. Here's what it does not mean. In 1854, the current pope of that time declared the dogma known as the Immaculate Conception. Now, 1854 is a long time after the birth of Christ. And this declaration has nothing to do with the birth of Christ, but they declared the Immaculate Conception. And when often you hear Mary spoken about, you hear the words Immaculate Conception. And here's what this means and what they're saying. They're saying that Mary was chosen because she was born without sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mary was not born without sin. When the Lord chose Mary, it was based on his sovereignty and his choice, not the fact that she was born without sin. In fact, she herself confesses her need of a Savior. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior, just like we all need a Savior. She was not born without sin. She was not immaculately conceived. And that's important to understand. The scriptures are clear about this. Romans 3:10, as it is written, none is righteous. Now notice this. No, not one. There were only two sinless births. One was Adam. And of course, we know what happened there, where he violated God's command, committed sin. And then there was the Lord Jesus Christ, who of course never violated anything. Now, when we look at this, there's some important factors that we need to consider. First was Mary's lineage. Luke is a lineage where it is believed that Mary traces her lineage all the way through David, all the way to Adam. And Adam, you'll notice, is called the Son of God. Now, that's important to understand. He was the first created being, and he was created without sin. But he sinned and brought sin into the world. Next, Mary was engaged to the right man. Joseph's family was from the city of Bethlehem. This was very important in Luke 2:1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Actually, it was a form of tax. And in verse 3, and all want to be registered, each to his own town. So where is the baby going to be born and what happened? Well, let's see. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. This is very important because hundreds of years before, God had said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So the Christ child was to be born in Bethlehem. And so how did it happen that Joseph and Mary ended up in Bethlehem? Because the ruler of the day passes a ruling about taxation. Everyone had to go to the town of their birth and of their family. And so they end up packing up and going to Bethlehem. And God's prophecy is fulfilled. The Christ child is born in Bethlehem. Third, Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. And after the family returned from Egypt and Herod tries to kill the child, they have to escape and hide in Egypt. After Herod is dead and the Lord says they can return, where do they go? Well, it says that they went to Nazareth. Why did they go to Nazareth? Because they were Nazarenes. And so the scripture says in Matthew 2:23, he went and lived in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So Jesus was called a Nazarene because he was raised in Nazareth. And that was prophesied long before the birth of Christ. But this is how the Lord got them to Nazareth. So we see the picking of Mary. Now I want to talk about the pregnancy of Mary. And this we need to think through. Mary was probably familiar with the prophecy, at least somewhat familiar with the prophecy concerning the birth of the Savior. But the angel's presence and announcement appeared to be a bit shocking to her. Remember in Luke 1:28, Gabriel, the angel, comes in to Mary's room and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, how would you feel if an angel showed up in your bedroom tomorrow morning and said, "Hi"? Would you be a little nervous about that, maybe? As you saw his glory shining and now he's speaking to you, that's exactly what happened to her in Luke 1:29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And so she's a little nervous about it. And then it says in the next verse, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." So this is going to be an eternal being forever. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, of course, Mary may be young. They think anywhere between 13 and 15, 16, somewhere around there. She may be young, but she knows this. For her to have a baby in her womb, something should happen. So she says, she asks a question because she's a virgin. She says in Luke 1:34, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel did give her an answer to that. The angel told her how it would be. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And so Mary is overcome by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit implants in Mary the child and causes her to be pregnant. And we don't know all the details. We just know it was by the Holy Spirit. It was not by a human being. And so what is in her is called the Son of God. And the Son of God is a supernatural person. And it is God in the flesh. In Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph," notice this next line, "before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Now, proof of that comes in Joseph's reaction. In Matthew 1:19, it says her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He finds out she's pregnant. Now, whoa, I'm engaged to this girl. She's pregnant. How in the world did this girl get pregnant? And he's a little upset about that. And he knows it now, and he's going to divorce her, because in those days, if you were betrothed, it was as solid as a marriage. And he is going to divorce her, but because he's a decent human being, he's not going to make a big show of it. He's going to divorce her quietly, because he cannot marry this woman because she is pregnant, and he knows it is not his child. But in Matthew 1:20, it says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so all this took place, it says, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so what is in the womb of Jesus is the God-man, God with us. And verse 24, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife." But now this is a very important thing to understand. There's another false teaching that goes around about Mary all the time, and you need to sort that out from what the Bible says. There are people that teach that Mary was a perpetual virgin, that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born, and for the rest of her life she was a virgin, and nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it's very important that we understand that. It's a man-made teaching. It comes from a couple of false doctrines that have grown up, but they're not true. One is that Mary was the mother of God. Now let's think about this a minute. Could anybody be the mother of God? No, that's a total impossibility. Mary was the vessel in which the Christ child was born. But Mary did not create the child, and Mary was not and is not the mother of God. That's very important. But then there's also another doctrine that comes to that Mary is the queen of heaven, and she has a exalted position in heaven as queen of heaven. And therefore, many, many different kinds of things come out of this. I remember as a little boy, I was about 2 or 3 years old, I was in a Catholic home for children. And every night they would put us in a room, and there was a statue of Mary there, and they would put us on our knees and tell us to pray to Mary. But I tell you that Mary was a person just like you and me. And we are not to exalt her in that way. We are to honor her because she was a chosen one, a vessel of God. But we do not pray to Mary, and Mary is not the mother of God. And it's important for us to understand that. But this is what really took place in Matthew 1:25. Notice what it says. "He knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." In other words, knew is the term in the scriptures for he did not have sex with Mary until after the birth of Jesus. And then, being married to Mary, he had a normal marriage just like any husband and wife. How do I know that? Well, first of all, Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and what happened? She conceived. The word knew is the idea of having sex with. He knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And so when the Bible uses the term, he knew his wife, it means he had sexual relationships. Mary and Joseph had a normal sex life like any married couple. And how do I know that? Matthew 13:55 is, and once they were talking about Jesus, and they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Now notice this next line. "Is not his mother called Mary? Now notice, are not his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So he's had at least four brothers. And then when you go on in the scriptures further, Matthew 13:56, and are not all his sisters with us? Now all his sisters implies a minimum of two. A minimum of two. So in the household of Joseph and Mary, how many were there? Well, you have four sons, two sisters, and Jesus. How many does that make? Seven. You say, well, that was a big family. Not in that day. Seven was not an unusual number. In fact, if any of you are here over 60 or 70, oh, some of us fit that. Do you remember when families used to be 5, 6, 7, 8 children? And I remember I had an aunt with like 13 children. It was not unusual. And so we know that Jesus had at least six brothers and sisters. And that's important to understand. The family was at least a family of seven. Then how did they get the teaching that Mary didn't have any children? Well, here's what they do. They twist the scriptures. Mark 3:31, his mother and his brothers came standing outside, sent to him and called. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you. And then Jesus said to them, who are my mother and brother? And looking about all who sat around, he said, here are my mother and brothers. Now, what was he saying? He wasn't talking that Mary was a perpetual virgin, and he wasn't saying that wasn't his real mother out there and his brothers. What he was simply saying is what we do even in the church. Did you know that we're all brothers in Christ? We talk about that term. We're all in the family of God. We talk about that term. And Jesus was simply saying, if you know God, you're in relationship with me. He is called our elder brother. And if you're in relationship with God, you're in relationship with Jesus. And in that sense, we're brothers. But we are not brothers in the flesh. And that's important to understand. And so they disregard the first half of those couple verses, and they take the last half. No, that's all spiritually speaking. Jesus had spiritual brothers and sisters. Yes, he did. But he also had physical brothers and sisters. And so we need to be careful. And the doctrine that we need to understand is not true. It's called the perpetual virginity of Mary. And you will never find that taught in the Word of God. And that's very important to understand. Why then a virgin birth? Why is that so important? Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And of course, Mary says, how should that happen? Because I'm a virgin. And he goes on to tell him how that's going to happen. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the child to be born is going to be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, if Jesus were not born of a virgin, he could not be the Savior of the world. Why? Well, there are three essentials that needed to happen for Jesus to be able to be the Savior of the world. Here's the first one. For Jesus to be able to die for us, he must be a man. He must be truly human. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and created, and the Bible says, prepared a body for her, and she became pregnant, he was truly human. God, yes, but truly human. God took on the nature of a man. And to die for mankind, to die for the sins of man, you must have been a human. Second, Jesus, to be the Savior, must be sinless. If he were born of a man in a normal or natural way, he would be born in sin. Listen to what it says in the book, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men for all have sinned. So once Adam sinned, and then he knew his wife Eve, and she conceived, every child that came out of Eve was born a sinner, and every child since. You say, every child? Yeah, just Hey, just take a kid home. When he gets about 2 years old, you have to put nuts and bolts on the cabinets to keep them out. He told you not to go in there. They go in there and say, what is wrong with this? They're sinners. And when they grow up, you'll get that a little quicker. They're sinners. We're all sinners. And unless there was a supernatural birth, a birth that was came from Mary but did not contain the sin of Mary, or a father was imposed by the Holy Spirit, unless he was a sinless child, there would be no way to have sin forgiven. Listen to what Psalm 51:5 says. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, he's not saying that the act of sex was sin or the conception was sin. No. What he's saying is everybody born by a human mom, except the one supernatural one that we're talking about, but everyone born by a human mom has a sin nature. And so therefore, there had to be a supernatural birth so that the one born, the Christ child, would not have a sin nature. And that's very important. The virgin birth could be labeled, in effect, the virginal conception by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God, through the Holy Spirit, created the child in the womb of Mary. This is God in the flesh. Theologians sometimes fill pages trying to explain it. I don't think that you fully can explain this miracle except that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Mary, and the child in her was born without sin. But the simple fact is God created the baby to be sinless. And this is called in the Bible the second Adam. The first Adam was born sinless until he ate of the fruit. The second Adam was born sinless. What did Satan do with the first Adam? He tempted him. He tempted Eve. He tempted Adam. What did he tempt them to do? Do something that was contrary to the will of God. And so they ate of the fruit they were told not to eat, and sin entered the world. What did Satan do with Jesus? Well, he tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. I often say Satan must have been really frustrated. He couldn't make Jesus sin. He was the matchless, sinless Son of God, very God. And Satan is trying and trying and trying, but you could not get Jesus to sin. And so Jesus is able to become the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a sin and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, the God child and the sinless child. And he is able to save us and be the sacrifice for our sins. Third, he must be an infinite man. What do we mean by an infinite man? He must be able to bear the sins, that is, to pay the price for all people. How is Jesus able to do that? One is he's fully man and fully God. And two is he's totally sinless. And so God could lay on him the iniquity of us all. He could lay on him what we deserve. He's infinite. He could take it because he's God in the flesh. But he's also sinless, and Jesus was able to die on your behalf and mine. In 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation. That means he satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, and he says, but for the whole world. When Jesus died, for God so loved the world. When Jesus died, he died for the whole world. Did Jesus die for me? You don't know what I've done. You don't know who Jesus is. He died for the whole world. He is the very Son of God, God in the flesh. He is infinite, and he is able to carry the sins of the world. And that's exactly what he did. So we look at the picking of Mary and the pregnancy of Mary. I want to talk about the pondering and pain of Mary. We sometimes miss some of the drama in Mary's life. We talk about Mary, she bore Jesus, and we think of, oh, life for her was just wonderful all the time and no struggles, but that's not true at all. And we need to understand that. Mary often had to ponder things and think them through. In Luke 2:19, after the shepherds came and talked about what they had seen in the field and the angels singing glory. And then they told her the story. It says she pondered, she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. She thought about them, and she's trying to figure this out. Here's this young girl, gives birth to the child. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. But she hasn't got all the pieces. She just knows what's happened. And so in her life, many times she is pondering. Can you imagine how she felt when the Magi showed up? And when they showed up, they gave her great gifts. And they said, we have seen a star in the east. And they start telling about all the travels they made to come and find the Christ child. Do you think Mary is just, wow? And then what about all these gifts? Little did she know that God was supplying the finances for them when they had to flee into Egypt, and they would need money to live on and to get a place to live and to stay, and to her it died. Where did they get that from? God sent the wise men with the gifts so that they had all the resources they need to be able to escape Herod the king. And how about this? No room at the inn. I mean, here's an angel comes and says, you're going to bear the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Wouldn't you think you'd be in the Hotel Hilton? But where do they go? They have to go to be registered in the town, and they go faithfully, and when they get there, what do they find out? There's no room for them. There's no room. This is the Son of God being born. There's no room. Where are we going to stay? And some friendly innkeeper probably says, hey, we've got the stable here, we've got the cave where we keep the animals, you can stay there. And so here is the one bearing the Christ child, and she's got to be thinking, all these miraculous things, and I'm giving birth in a cave. And so she gave birth to her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now imagine what else she's pondering about. Remember when Jesus was born, and after her period of cleansing, they took him to the temple, about 6.5 miles from where they were living. They took him to the temple, and when they brought him in, a man named Simeon immediately recognizes this is the Messiah. God has revealed it to him, and he grabs hold and blesses the baby, and he blesses Mary, and he says to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And notice this next line. And for a sign that is opposed. And notice again in the very next verse, and it says, a sword will pierce through your own soul, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword? What mother wants to hear that a sword is going to pass through your soul because of your child? And yet, I can't help but think what she thought when she was standing at the foot of the cross, and she saw her son being crucified. And she's reflecting upon the words that were told her when her son was at the temple. And so she remembers. And many times in Mary's life, I'm sure, she pondered about the things that were happening. Because remember, she wasn't God. She was just a little maiden chosen by God. But she's pondering these things. And so it had to be difficult. And then fleeing Herod. Here she is, the one that's going to be born in her, is going to be the Savior of mankind. But she's fleeing and has to go to another country. I can't help but think what Mary must have been thinking. But here's one that often is missed. The talk of the townspeople. She's in a little town. Just a little town. She's now pregnant. She's not married. Even though Joseph then takes her to be the wife, he discovers she's pregnant before he does it. That means there may be something showing here. And later, when people are in an argument with Jesus, in John 8:41, Jesus says to them, you are doing the works your father did. And they don't like the way he's saying this. Notice what they said. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father. And they're calling him an illegitimate child. There had to be some talk around the town. Mary was pregnant before she was married. And Mary probably heard some of this. And so it was probably an emotional struggle. And there's one other thing that probably Mary struggled with. It says in the Bible that his brothers didn't believe in him. In John 7:5, the unbelief of the brothers, look at this. For not even his brothers believed in him. Can you imagine you're raising a household of children? And Jesus is beginning to identify himself as the Savior, the Messiah, the God-sent one. And guess who's not believing it? The brothers. Can you imagine Mary's heart in this process? Her brothers didn't even believe. It wasn't until after the death of Christ that his brothers came to believe in him and the resurrection. And so Mary is living with all these kinds of things. Wow. Have you ever thought this much about Mary and her life being the one that bore the Christ child? Well, we talked about some things about Mary. I hope this gives you a vivid picture of the Mary of the Bible. She is not the mother of God. She birthed the God child, but she did not create him. She is not the queen of heaven. She's a young lady whom God in sovereignty chose to be the one that would carry the Son of God. We do not worship her. We do not pay her the kind of homage that many people do. We do honor her and respect her, as we often many Bible characters. We talk about Paul, we talk about Jeremiah, we talk about Moses, all people used by God. We give them honor to whom honor is due. But if anyone should seek advice from Mary, and people are taught to pray to Mary, but the Bible never ever tells us to do that. In fact, it is wrong, it's sinful to do those things. We don't pray to saints, we don't pray to Mary, we don't pray to anybody but God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. That's how we pray. And so if somebody says, well, I'm going to ask Mary for advice, I can tell you one sentence of advice she would give you. It's very clear. You remember she's at a wedding and they're out of wine. And they're all jumping around. What should we do? What should we do? And here's what Jesus said. And this is what Mary said. And this is what Mary would say to every one of us. In John 2:5, do whatever he, the Son, tells you. Who do we follow? Jesus. Who do we worship? Jesus. What should we do? Whatever Jesus tells us to do. Got it? Let's pray together. Lord, help us to realize it is Jesus that we bow to. It is Jesus that we worship. It is Jesus who died on the cross for us, and we owe it to Jesus to cry out to him. Accept our cry, O Lord. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.